String 30. The Librarian and the Ur-Didact.
My husband has become a child again. But not any sort of child I'd be proud of. Not any sort of child I would trust. He has stripped off his armor and wanders about our quarters, looking at the things his duplicate has gathered. Artifacts and objects of study. Remembrances of the time when he was away. In exile or lost, and I briefly had another husband, very much like him, but no longer. There is no question of him making any attempt to reconcile, of that I'm certain. I hardly recognize what he has become. Still, he has requested this meeting with the implication that it will be our last. I sit on a suspensor that takes color and shape beneath me, and he sits beside me. His great head dropping between his thick knees.
Can you know what it was like to be in the cryptum, leaving our situation to you, while all this spun out of control?
He asks. I take up his great hand and unfold it, running my own smaller finger along each muscular digit. The hand reflexively closes. Our bodies still carry instructions built in from times long before memory. No. I breathe. I hope it was peaceful.
Quiet, as much as there can be sense or sensation. The domain can only tell the living what they already know,
he says,
or what they've stored in its expanses. I wandered through all the corridors, so they appeared anyway. Centuries of wandering through hallways and caverns and even deeper, darker places, lined and fitfully aglow with ancestral records and memories, upwellings of past visits, rarely by me, sometimes by our ancestors, on occasion, our descendants.
Descendants? I ask.
The domain keeps its secrets only with difficulty. It wants, it needs to spread knowledge. It wants to tell us when we're being foolish. But it can only replay the emotions and memories of those who came before. Still, rarely, it violates its own rules.
What about our descendants?
Everybody, it's your boy ATF Cobra, and today I have a video.
I felt their touch, their love, and yet they were fading. The domain is filled with sadness. A deep shadow has fallen over everything Forerunner. When I was pulled up from all that, pulled out of the cryptum and revived, I couldn't remember. But now I do, in part. Horror brought it back. The grave mind returned it to me. It forced me to listen.
My husband swiftly removes his hand from mine and stands to summon his armor, stretching to allow it to surround him.
I need to fight against what it told me, what it has done to me, to all of us. I need to fight with all of my might and will, and everything I can gather, every weapon and resource. But I have been undercut from the very beginning by that manipulator, wife. The worst thing I've ever done was imprint him. And so forgive me in advance for what I must do, and know why I do it.
I am about to ask what this is that requires any forgiveness, let alone mine, but alarms sound before I can speak. The didact starts up, and for a moment there is that old, brutal sharpness, that old readiness for battle. The ancillas gather around, foremost the image of the offensive bias. The Ark is under attack, it says. Large concentrations of star roads are emerging in near space.
How much time?
The didact asks.
Hours, no more, the medarch responds.
The isodidact is doubtless already taking action in concert with the builder commanders, putting the entire Ark on full alert. I need to get to the Halo, my specimens, the last humans. But what I see in the abyssal night around the greater Ark is enough to freeze me through and through. Somehow, the old artifacts have been transported in such amazing density that the galaxy beyond is barely visible, as if viewed through a weave of shadowy bars. The arc is surrounded, and every second the star roads squeeze in. Already our radius of action is down to a few million kilometers. I can't bear the thought of the loss of all my specimens, of the greatest concentration of our lifelong efforts, of all our work. How can we repopulate the galaxy if we lose everything here? I cry. The Didact's look is strangely sly, devious, as if he has a delicious joke he wishes to tell, but not yet. An expression I've never seen before. Horror compounds upon horror.
After I finish my task, I will depart in Mantle's approach, he says.
My mind races. I can expect no assistance from the Didact, that much is obvious. The arc is far too large to move. The Halo might be able to escape, but there are not nearly enough functional vessels to rapidly shift our forerunners there. They could have been moved if we had begun shuttling them weeks ago, or if we had put them on the Halo in the first place. Our mistakes have finally compounded. The trap is closing. How can we save them all? How can we ever get free, I ask, and where do we go?
There is no way out, only through,
he says, his eyes narrowing.
If you wish to survive, you must leave now. When the flood is finished, there will be nothing left of this place.
The Didact stretches a long arm in the direction of Path Kathona.
The star roads will keep clear of Halo's firing path. That will open an escape route,
he says.
But it will not remain that way for long. You must escape in audacity while you have a chance.
He sucks in his breath, staring at the Ark's surface.
Traitors. And yet, even in the midst of our most monumental failure, I will seize another solution.
The Didact locks his helmet and leaves with hardly a backward glance. He does not even offer to escort me to audacity. I am lost in a sink of misery and confusion. If the Ark is destroyed, and all my specimens, what is the point of my own existence? And then I know. We must move everything, as much as we can, to safety. It is our only solution. I send the briefest of messages to Chant de Green, who is hidden within a keyship on the far side of the burn. If her vessel is capable, she will obey. She cannot fail. I then contact the only presence on the Ark that I know can help.